Yeah. One in the hand, one in the bag, bubbling. Look at the cash coming in.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Lookout Landing Podcast. My name is Kate Prusser. And I am your host.
Did I not and mute that well enough?
No.
Damn it. I thought no. I definitely hit mute. What the fuck?
And that burping bear behind me is my co-host, John Troopin. John, who I am decidedly not cutting any of this out.
All right, well, fine. Hello,
I mean, we can if you want. We can if you want.
I think that's about on par.
Is this a moment of vulnerability that you're going to let the
my
podcast
first,
audience
see? My first moment of vulnerability. Letting underneath my just very hard chitin, just a soft, very full of popcorn human being.
Gaseous. You're very gaseous.
Yeah, exactly.
It's also John's Tinder bio.
Exactly.
So obviously we have another
guest
with us.
With a hard chitin exterior.
We have another guest with us tonight, and that is
no games.
Our brand new writer. Well, brand new. Matthew, how long have you been around? Not brand new.
I think I have about a month of service time, something like that.
Yeah.
I mean, I did try to game your service time by leaving you down in the minors.
Yeah, it was a whole scheme. It was very transparent. I knew exactly what you were doing.
Can you blame me? I mean, I'm only given so much budget to work with.
You are going to hold it against her in arbitration in a few years, but now there's only so much you can do.
It's fair. It's all totally fair. So joining us, obviously, is Matthew. Do I say Roberson or Robertson? I've never actually said it out loud.
Yeah, it's quite the point of contention. It's definitely Roberson.
Roberson. Okay.
It's one of those things where, like, as a kid, enough people said Roberson that like, kind of spread. So, like, half of my friends thought I was Roberson, and then half of them said Roberson. My family says Roberson, though, so we'll go with Roberson.
So with just like Robertson, but without the T. What, are you too good for the
right.
T? Like,
I mean, I didn't have any control over that. I was just kind of given the name.
I mean, I feel like you can as an adult. Like, I love how Nick Castellanos was like, no more. Nick was my name when I was a child.
Or John Carlos Stanton just made up a whole new name.
Yes, that is. And you know what? If I'm going to pick a name, Giancarlo is, and I looked like him, I would, yeah.
I mean, in fairness,
100%.
Like, if he was going to have a face guard in the shape of an M, it'd look awful. Like, he's got to have
a G
just makes a lot more sense.
Yeah, it's like how Matt Groening hid his initials in, like, Homer's ear. Like, it's an M and a G. Yeah, look it up and thank me later. Just out here to blow some minds because I got tired of the Yanny Laurel debate. If you could rename, which MLB player do you think is most in need of a rebrand? Who should really consider changing his name?
Wow.
I know. I'm starting us off with the hard questions. Right now, there's a JP Sportman is playing in one of the leagues that we. So and he's good. So I keep getting these notifications on my phone.
Wait,
JP Sportman singles in the ninth. Like, no, he doesn't.
Who's the dude on the Rays whose name is like
Johnny
Jim
Field?
Baseball? Yeah,
Jim Baseball.
Yeah, I like Johnny Field. I actually don't want him to change that at all.
It is pretty good.
No.
I think Chris Bryant, like, looks way, like, he just needs a little bit more, like, something, even just, like, another syllable, like, if you just added something superfluous on there, because it's just, like, he's very good at baseball, and he does a lot of interesting things, but, like, other than his eyes, there's just nothing compelling about him, like, I don't know, it is very difficult.
Yeah, I mean,
he is super boring.
We were talking about this. I had a lunch meeting with some of my athletics coworkers the other day and talking about how MLB sort of has a problem with marketing its stars for sure, but also it has a problem in that a lot of its stars are so boring.
Yeah.
Like Mike Trout, in addition to having a super boring name, like a name that maybe if you don't know a lot of English, you would pick out of a book. Like when I tried to name myself Sonrisa in Spanish class because I was like, oh, it means smile. That's, without realizing, like, that's not a name that, like, human people have.
That's fair.
Yeah. You know what's wild to me? So Mike Trout has that Subway endorsement, right?
Yeah.
Mike Trout is a dude named Mike from Jersey, and Jersey Mike's couldn't get him as their spokesman.
That is brutal.
I mean, I'm sure Subway has more money, but it's still just, like, very weird to me. It was right in front of them the whole time.
And kind of, like, cold-blooded. Like,
yeah. Oh, Subway was like, you know what we're going to do? This is some, like, angels planning the Shohei Ohtani bobblehead on the night the Mariners are in town level of pettiness. And I'm not sure if I'm here for it or not. I think I might be here for it because I'm not personally implicated in this.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas the Angels one really felt like that was just an unnecessary gut punch. Although I'm very happy to have a rivalry back. It's fun to be able to, like... You know, when the Mariners aren't playing and the Angels are, to be able to, like, turn on the game and just hate against them.
Yeah. Well, and it's, like, part of it's, like, the it's not really fun to root against the Astros because, like, you can't just root against, like, time. Like, you can't just root against, like, a tsunami. Yeah.
Eventually,
like, that's
your
not,
farm
like...
is already pretty thin. It's and you've pissed off, like, all your scouts. Like, really? The scouting community hates the Astros. So, yeah, eventually this will, you know, come see me in, like, 10 years.
Yeah. And, like, the Rangers are, like, pretty much just made up of people I would also like to root for and kind of the same issue of, oh, we had, like, a bunch of interesting players and then they all got hurt or weren't actually as good as they were supposed to be. Like, and we've had some pretty crushing losses in situations where things should have gone better. Like, and the A's are just, I don't know.
Yeah, you know, we could hate on the plucky little A's, although I think that, and oh, hey, it's a baseball podcast. Maybe we should talk about the Mariners, theoretically. Mm-hmm. We can talk about the
A's.
Well,
you were
series.
Talking about your athletics teammates or your athletics coworkers earlier. Right?
Yes. I meant to say the athletic. I still call, whatever. So let's talk about the series that just finished up today. We were sort of poised in that place between the series ending and the next homestand starting. Not a punishing road trip, but, like, definitely something where I feel like after the Toronto series, I felt pretty comfortable in saying the Mariners are a better team than the Blue Jays. I don't think we stole those wins. Like, they pretty much just defeated them in all phases of the game. The A's are a better team than the Blue Jays, but I think the Mariners are still a better team than the A's in pretty much all facets of the game. Discuss.
I think the full Mariners.
Yes, for
and
sure.
even the non-Cano Mariners perhaps are. I don't think the Mariners team that just took 2 out of 3 games from the A's are better than the A's. I think that was a very fortunate series of a just trash situation. But I am more than happy to feast on that trash.
like the raccoon that you are.
Yes.
I thought that they were so thoroughly outclassed in both phases of pitching, like both the starting and the bullpen, that is primarily... And then with the position players, I think we saw a lot of good defense that bailed out their pitching staff sometimes. But, you know, I think there's still... We did not run our best series of pitchers out during this particular outing. And I think it exposed a lot of weaknesses. Like, they are a team with a lot of swing and miss.
Yeah.
That aggressive... You know, it's a little like the White Sox, where that can come back and bite the Mariners, but... it can also, you can get them into some pretty bad counts, and you can get them to induce a lot of weak contact if you're able to locate your pitches, which our pitchers were.
I'm pretty confident that we're better than the A's.
Thank you.
A weird part of me is kind of, like, rooting for Jed Lowry's success to continue, because if Jed Lowry is their best player, like, I don't see the A's doing a whole lot. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I feel like that's a very low ceiling if Jed Lowry's going to be your best hitter.
Yeah, I think I expected more from Matt Chapman, and maybe we saw Chapman on like some, and I mean, obviously the defensive wizardry is there, and maybe we saw him on a couple of off games, but it doesn't.
Well, and they as a team had just lit up the Red Sox, and nearly they were a game away from sweeping the Yankees, except for like a weird blown call, and like I forget who else they played, but they essentially just stormed through the AL East and came back, and you know had bad pitching, which was absolutely to the Mariners' benefit. But I agree. I think. I never felt threatened in these series, which was very strange. And I would not feel... I mean, I think they're a team that can streak, obviously, as we saw. But I don't think, on the whole, that they're there yet. Because I think, much like the Angels are hamstrung, you know, and honestly, like the Mariners are hamstrung, you know, the pitching is just not consistently good enough. But... of those three teams, the Mariners have the best pitcher in James Paxton.
Which
so,
will take you a long way.
Which will take you a long way. And
the dude on the A's who scares me the most, though, is Blake Treinen. That guy is, like, legitimately scary. Yeah. I don't know how he does those things to a baseball.
It is legitimately horrifying at times.
It's really weird, too, because he was so ineffective with the Nationals. And then it comes to, and I mean, far be it for me to say, but I don't particularly look at the Oakland staff, the Oakland pitching staff, and think like, huh, well, clearly some of the best pitching minds in baseball are developing these players. You know, it feels to me like Jarrell Cotton has been real slow to take steps forward. Manaea obviously has the talent, but is like, has started showing it this year, but also didn't have the easiest path. You have some injuries. You have some real wild in, like, you know, Kendall Graveman, just some incredibly uneven performances. Emilio Pagan came over and wasn't doing really well for a while. And we know what Emilio Pagan is. Emilio Pagan's a good pitcher. So I don't look at them and think, like, oh, there's, you know, clearly that's the team that would fix Blake Treinen. That's not something that I would have guessed before the beginning of this series, because the stuff is super filthy.
It is hilarious to me, though, that the Nationals have spent the entire Bryce Harper era looking for a closer, and they had one who's just dominating now in Oakland.
Oh, that's a hard irony. I mean, you want to talk about the Mariners having some poor luck, which is partially due to some mismanagement. I think I would be livid if I was a Nationals fan right now with the way the team has been performing so far this year.
That has always been sort of the like juxtaposition, because I think they're the best like other example of like another team that has never made a World Series and like, but like obviously has had playoff like, you know, has made the playoffs and has had good teams, and like sort of the like, would you rather be a Nationals fan and like continuously like get close but then like fail spectacularly or like never be close like Mariners fans have been.
I mean, I would take Bryce Harper and Steven Strasburg on my favorite team. I think
agreed.
Scherzer too.
Yeah, I was just thinking of the ones that they developed. But yeah, I mean, Max Scherzer also good at baseball.
only hot takes here on the LL podcast.
A name to keep an eye on down the stretch. Max Scherzer of the Washington Nationals.
Well, you know, you are our noted prospect expert now.
Yes.
I was going to say, I think the Yankees maybe should trade for him.
There's some hard-hitting journalism right there.
I actually get a decent amount of Nationals news because I have a great aunt who lives in, like, the DMV. Like, she lives in, like, Bowie, Maryland, I think.
I never think of the DMV as being the whatever it actually is.
No, DC, Maryland, Virginia.
Yeah, Delmarva.
Sure.
I very much thought you just meant, oh yeah, I got a great aunt hanging out like down at near City Hall. Like
she's confident her number is going to get called any day now.
Yeah,
like, she's been there for 17 years, but anyway, she really thinks next Tuesday's the day.
Yeah, but anyway, so she lives out there, and she's a Washington Post subscriber, and every morning, at least it seems like every morning, she sits down with a physical copy of the paper and like clips out the articles and mails them to me.
Oh, that's so precious.
That's so amazing.
Precious.
Yeah, it's really cool. I just get all the Nationals news like a week and a half late. But it's a very nice gesture.
You should then like mail it to someone else, like a manual retweet.
I was going to say, have you ever considered just mailing her back, like, tweets like of things, like, way sooner in advance? Like,
Have you guys seen that tweet that's like, if I ever go to prison, please print out my timeline every day and mail it to me, and I'll circle the ones I want you to retweet and send them back?
No, that's awesome.
That's basically what I'm doing with my great aunt.
Fantastic.
So in like 3 weeks, I'm going to get some Juan Soto news from her and have to pretend like I'm just hearing about it.
Oh, my God. You'll get to relive it all over again. It'll be so fun.
Oh, my goodness.
So let's talk a little bit. As we're talking about other teams and like kind of their needs, I think it's an interesting playoff race, but it's interesting the way that the season is stacking up so far. I think there are a lot of surprises. I definitely don't think that anyone banked on the Mariners being this good, and I feel like national media is just kind of waiting for us to collapse. And when I say national media, I of course mean Mariners Twitter.
I would say
the
pretty much everyone.
Entire nation.
Pretty much everyone.
Yes, everyone is waiting for the Mariners. It's sort of like as Gotti, Zach Gottschalk, our recapper extraordinaire, referenced the other day, that Mariners are walking a tightrope, but I just feel like everyone is down below going, fall, 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 fall. Like, every time there's a little wobble, it's like, ooh, and then they get back on track, and it's like, aw.
Which is, like, rooting for them to fall is the exact opposite reaction you should have. Like, that means they die, right? Like, we should be at the bottom, like, stay up, stay up. Like, please do not fall.
We've all seen Jerry DePoto in various stages of distress so far this season, I think.
It's been, like, kind of worrisome, in truth.
I'm real worried. I want somebody who lives near Jerry DePoto to walk by his house and make sure he's not just, like, playing the cover of Mad World from Donnie Darko, like, over and over again.
Sticking his head in the pizza oven in his backyard.
Like, this is ineffective because it's just, like, a big open area. Weird. I can't get deep enough in here for it to matter.
He just wants to know what it feels like a little. It's been a little worried. Like, we should all be hoping for Jerry DePoto's mental health and overall well-beingness, because, like, there is some serious second-term Obama with the graying and the hair that's, like, just... He's always so perfectly poised. And there was a point after the Cano news broke where, you know, things looked real grim on his and on Daddy Service's face. Like, oh, man, that was... Sad Dad Scott is not one I am mentally prepared for, it turns out.
It looks slightly sadder than Happy Dad Scott.
Yeah, exactly. It turns out the emotional band is that narrow and yet still that effective. So things are... The important thing, I think, is it's a fun team. Like, it's a fun team to root for as long as they keep getting it done. Like, we just gotta, like, Tinkerbell, you know? Just keep clapping. Just keep clapping. But looking around, the Mariners are for as much as they've gone through as a team, they're in an okay spot. Other teams in not so much an okay spot. The Dodgers seem to be riding the ship a little bit, right?
Mm-hmm.
The Twins, the winners of the offseason, have just seemed unable to put it together. So what I'm getting at here is there are a lot of teams that are going to be looking for help at the trade deadline, and earlier than ever, I think, we have a separation of some teams that are definitely going to be sellers, right? It's pretty clear who's going to have stuff on offer. And the Mariners very clearly need some help.
Yeah.
So this has just been a long way to get around to talk about Chris Archer, Mariner.
I'm so ready for that.
Oh my God, it would be unbelievable. It'd be so unbelievable. You know, and the other thing I was looking at is his numbers are down, but part of that is Wilson Ramos is catching him, and Wilson Ramos is in the bottom 10 for all catchers as far as framing numbers go. So a little bit, if you look at Chris Archer's numbers and you're like, meh, I'm not so impressed, think about who's doing the catching for him the majority of the time. The Rays have had a horrible time trying to plug up the catching job. They've just not had anyone in there who's like a good long-term solution.
I was going to say, is Sucre still the backup or is he hurt? Because I know, I like distinctly remember when Sucre first got there, Archer explicitly talking about,
yes. This
is a revelation, like this is my best friend. And it's like, Jesus Sucre is a good defensive catcher, but like, Jesus Sucre should not be a revelation for you. Like,
hey, he caught a no-hitter. So
he did, as did Jesus Montero, I believe. So
he did. And Montero handled like 9 different pitchers during that. So
yeah,
in a way, he caught like 9 no-hitters.
If you think about it.
6, whatever the number was. It's not important.
Approximately. Every Kevin Millwood inning is like 7 real innings, which is...
Fun fact, I was at both of those games.
What?
Ooh.
Yeah, isn't that crazy?
Were they both like planned out, or was it just kind of on a whim, like, I'm going to go watch some mid-season... Like...
No, the Dodgers one was planned out. It was like me and
Dodgers
a high school
game.
Friend. That was like a Friday night, I think. And the Dodgers were really good. I think they were like the best team in baseball at that time. So that
D.
one was
Gordon's
planned.
Dodgers at the time.
D. Gordon's Dodgers, Andre Ethier's Dodgers, that whole squad. Uh-huh. So that one was like a big thing. And then it was definitely like when Kevin Millwood started cooking, we were like, this can't be right. Like, there has to be a mistake. The scoreboard operator is not doing his job. Mm-hmm. And then once we got into, like, I can't remember the exact order, but it was like Lucas Litke was involved, and then you're just kind of waiting for the air to come out of the balloon. And it never happened. So that was like one of those weird, like, you're not trying to show too much emotion until it actually happens. Because, like, there was that sense that, like, as soon as we got into those relievers who were like, we're really just not good, that one of them was going to blow it. So, like,
yeah,
in the blink of an eye, it could have gone from no hitter to, like, Brandon League giving up a 3-run home run.
What? But was Lucas Lipke the one who does the leaping throw? Because I always mix him up with the one
Carter
who does
Capps?
The...
No, that was Carter Capps.
Carter Capps and Lucas Lipke are essentially the same person in my head.
I just remember Carter Capps for, like, astonishing Ichiro. Like, Ichiro said it was, like, the craziest thing he'd ever seen in his life.
Which, when you're astonishing Ichiro, you
that's pretty
really,
good. That's
you're
pretty
really,
good.
You're really, really in some Outer Bounds, Stranger Things shit. Jesus Sucre, to bring things back, just recently returned, but has not been good since he came back. Is really struggling at the plate. But, I mean, could also have something to do with the fact that Chris Archer just put up one of his better starts. I don't know if Sucre caught it, but... so anyway,
wait, hold on.
Thing...
Before we move on, without looking, how old do you guys think Jesus Sucre is?
29.
I'm gonna say 30.
Maybe
only because Gates said 29.
Maybe 27. Fine, I'll go down to 27.
John nailed it. He is 30 years old.
Huh.
That
you could have told me though anything from 25 to 35, and I would have believed it.
And you would have believed it.
That fellow has been around for a while, but also looks like has looked really young for a while.
He's also been round for a while.
Yeah.
That is true. He's a cherubic fellow.
Both things can be true. He's adorable. I miss him.
I miss him so much.
Not so much as, although, I don't know, you know, Freitas, Sucre, it's kind of a toss-up.
Yeah, it is kind of fun to just have a new backup catcher every year.
It is. I mean, it's one of the more interesting roles in baseball, certainly. I'm interested at the fact, well, this is a different topic, but the fact that Freitas seems to be catching Felix so much, whereas we were always told Nino was like his safety blanket. So
it's almost like they're like flipping Felix off. Like it's almost like, all right, Felix, like.
Yeah, when
you
pitch...
would think Felix has some control over that, right? Couldn't he just be like, hey, next time I would love to pitch to Mike Zunino?
I mean, maybe it's just been the way that it's been lining up. But yeah, his last couple starts, and
well,
then
they
also
had like a weird. They had a weird stretch where like because Bergman started, so like everything was thrown off. It's like Mike Leake didn't pitch for like a week.
It's all the Tigers' fault, dude.
It is all the that's the theme of the season. I can see us in like September writing up our recap of the whole season and just writing.
I hope we don't forget what like the Midwest did.
Yes.
Let
us
not
let
our rage
or something. Yeah, exactly.
Well, and why did they make us go there at the beginning of the season? Like the Midwest should be coming to the roof stadiums.
Yeah,
you know?
Like just start absolutely them on long road trips. Like their fans aren't gonna care. Like no one wants to go to those games.
Exactly.
Nope.
No. Exactly.
The only bummer of that is that it backloads road games. Because I thought about this, but it backloads road games for us, which kind of sucks. Whereas I'm much happier to have the Twins coming here now, so we can hopefully show up and make some noise during this upcoming series. But back to Chris Archer.
Yes.
obviously he is, I think, the ideal person the Mariners could try and trade for. There is no way that the Mariners can outbid another team with prospects.
Here are teams that are reportedly interested in Chris Archer. The Angels, which...
God.
The Dodgers... The Padres, the Cubs.
They do have just, like, more prospects than they can do anything with, so I guess
100%.
That does...
And the Yankees. I think that those are all the teams that are fielding calls, and the Rays have made it pretty clear that they are going to be open for business. I think that, so obviously Seattle will get outbid for prospects with any of them. I think there's an element where you have to be creative. So, you offer the Rays Vogelbach, who can help them immediately. You offer them something else that could help them. I don't know, one of our other guys.
At least one of the many starting pitchers that they have, that the Mariners have.
In Rob AAA. Whalen, Andrew Moore, like that tier.
Chase DeYoung,
any of those guys. So you offer them that. Vogelbach, a pitcher. Please let it be Rob Whalen. He's got the best numbers out of all of them. That's totally fine.
Is that enough, though, to get Chris
Archer? No.
My
friend,
no.
I've just started. I've
okay,
just started.
First of all.
I've been, like, finishing that thought, and I'm like, Kate, I don't know if
that'll work.
First of all, like, probably none of this is, like, at all going to be enough anyway, but...
Yeah.
But here is a way that it could work. So you offer them that. You give them a giant pile of money and take, like, I don't know, Denard Span, I think, maybe has the worst contract over there now.
Yeah.
Oh, jeez.
I'm serious. There's some ugly sides to this, but this is what I think it would take. So you eat his contract, you take Archer, you give them all that money. Give them, they've been interested in some of our relief prospects. Give them one of those. Give them Sam Carlson.
Oh, no.
I know. It'd be so sad not to have his Instagram to roast him.
Well, I mean, actually, that's
anymore,
not the worst thing, because we could still follow him on Instagram.
Yes, that's true.
And it would be like, he'd have new apartment Instagrams, you know, because he'd have to move. That would
be
a whole show.
Would he?
Sure.
Would he?
Florida
I think
Beach
he lives
Instagrams.
In Arizona. Like,
yeah.
I'm not sure he's moving.
Yeah, no. I mean, I would not want out of that sweet, sweet setup either. So whatever. You give them this haul, and then backdoor under the table. So now you can trade 2018 draftees or that year's draftees after the World Series. Mm-hmm. You tell them, tell us who to pick, and we'll put this in the trade as a player to be named later, and the player to be named later will be the draft pick. So essentially, you gift them an extra draft pick.
So, Jerry DePoto, if you're listening, just do that. Also, have you seen Denard Span recently?
I mean, he's a silver fox.
He looks like a wolf. Like his beard is like such
feral
a cool shade of gray.
Yeah,
I'm into it. I take back everything I said. I want him on the team.
You know, I saw him make a great catch the other day. It's you know, he's at least partially useful, and at the very least, what, you put him in Tacoma? I don't know.
No, he could be like a defense pinch runner kind of guy.
Sure, sure. I mean, the thing is, the Mariners are in a tough spot. In order to swing something like this, you are going to have to do something creative, right? Because, as John said, we cannot, on prospects alone. The Dodgers just have Alex Verdugo, like, sitting in a closet somewhere. They're like, oh, this old thing? Yes, of course you can have that. Yeah. I mean, they're thinning out, for sure, but they've got prospect capital that's just, they can just send. Yeah. So they've got more, there are a bunch of teams that have more prospects than they have places to play them.
And the Mariners, like, when you say a big pile of money, the Mariners can... We tried to sort of look into the rules on this, because it's when cash is exchanged in trades, it's not always divulged how much is actually being exchanged. But the $11.9 million or $11.8 million that the Mariners have, in theory, the Mariners can just trade that. And if they are willing, there is no better... You know, like, Brandon Phillips is not a better use of some of that money than using whatever you can to get any amount of Chris Archer, who, by the way, is on an incredibly team-friendly deal. I mean, there is no and you know, like, it's pie in the sky kind of stuff, but it legitimately, I think what you said, Kate. That level of commitment is the only way the Mariners are going to get us. And the trade-off there is you get a by far better pitcher than anyone on the staff than other than Paxton.
Yep.
And you get them for, I think, 4 years at least.
Yeah. So is it worth completely bankrupting your farm for Chris Archer? Yes. And are the Mariners a team that would be willing to bankrupt their farm versus another team? So if Tampa Bay is like, Dodgers, yeah, fine, you're willing to give up Alex Verdugo. We want Keibert Ruiz because we don't have a catcher. We want Walker Buehler because we want to get a pitcher back. The Dodgers might balk at that, you know? I think the only other team, the Dodgers are under the fire a little bit because they didn't, you know, advance as far as they didn't win last year. Uh-huh. They've got all this money sunk into the team. People are getting impatient, fans and ownership alike. So I think the Dodgers are desperate enough to do something like that. The Mariners have to be a little bit desperate. And I think if they start early, they can maybe swing something and think creatively. And, you know, two things we know about Jerry Dipoto. He likes to start early and he likes to think creatively. So,
yeah. And if you're, you know, I think that there have been sort of rumblings about ownership not really wanting to go after a sort of one-year rental kind of thing.
Right.
This is something that helps for multiple years. And, I mean, you know, obviously it just once again saps out even more depth from the farm. But
if you want to be able to compete with the Astros and the Angels while they're in these, I mean, they have Ohtani now.
Yeah.
You know, the Astros added Gerrit Cole now. If you want to be able to compete now, this is what you have to do. Like, they've got to make some kind of move like that. It doesn't matter because if the farm's going to be totally bankrupt after this.
Well, and also, it would just be nice to have, like, someone fun. I mean, the team is already very fun, but, like, a pitcher with some personality and some flair would be a nice addition to the Mike Leakes of the world, you know?
Well, you know...
And the bad Felixes.
I won't speak ill of Felix ever. I'm just going to choose to remain silent.
I mean, I know that a lot of people listening to this could be like, oh, this is, you know, so this is just... we have a term on the site, rosterbation, that, you know, this is just people talking out of their asses, whatever. But I think something that is... why Chris Archer is a target is not just because he's a good pitcher with lots of club control, but he is, from like a philosophical standpoint, I think a really good fit for the club. From a personality standpoint, from a cultural standpoint.
He literally has talked about how much he loves Seattle. Yeah. Like,
and reading.
I mean, This is a guy who would be embraced enormously by the fan base, and you know,
yeah,
I don't know.
It would
know.
Be so cool.
And Kate, as you have said, you know, it's not like it's going to be the difference between necessarily the Mariners getting a good deal or the Rays taking a good deal or a bad deal, but you know, the Jerry Dipoto and what's his face, Kevin. No, that's the manager. What's his? The Rays GM are
Friedman still? No, he was.
No,
he
Friedman's left. With LA.
I don't know who it is.
Eric Neander? He's the GM.
Is it?
Wikipedia tells me that Eric Neander is the GM. Senior Vice President.
That.
Yeah, I mean that's what happens when you Google that. So I don't know what else to tell you.
Who am I thinking of? Whatever.
That's what happens when your GM doesn't have a podcast. No one knows his name.
No one knows who he is.
Yeah,
where did I get Kevin Cash from? He's not on here anywhere.
He's the manager. Okay. He's the manager. Dipoto and the Rays front office have had a lot of back and forth. Who was it that Dipoto was just like hanging out in the corner?
That's the
with?
Rays. Yeah, that's the Rays guys. That's Neander.
Right.
Neander.
Yeah. So this is like a pretty well cultivated relationship.
Mm-hmm.
I am certain that this is something that they have been working and going back and forth on for months.
You think Billy Epler was cozying up to Neander at the winter meetings? I think not.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean, it's very difficult to say that it is plausible, but it's certainly, at the very least, it's something that's being tried in some way, somehow.
Yes, and I will say also, the Mariners are looking like they are trying. So we know that they are making phone calls. So please. All right, we can lay this talk to rest for now. Uh-huh. But I am one more time going to say I'm so glad we did not go out and spend a lot in free agency on a pitcher, on Jake Odorizzi, on Lance Lynn, on Alex, what's his face, Cobb.
Cobb.
Who's
yep, thank
a
you.
Disaster.
Yeah, I mean that things
and
are not going well.
All of whom would have cost a draft pick also.
And all of whom would have got the same draft pick we could use to get in my crazy plan, the same draft pick we could use to get Archer. Anyway, shall we end the time for dreaming and move on to talking about the team that is actually in front of us? Ooh,
yes.
Or should we transition nicely, since we were talking about the Rays? Let's pretend that this was the transition I had in mind all along. It's such a better segue. the Rays are trying something new with the opener. The opener.
Yes.
And we've talked... I mean, after you watched Felix today, do you feel like the openers maybe a role that, again, you have to think creative. The Mariners have their backs against the wall in so many different ways, and they just keep clawing their way out of it. But at some point, you have to get a little bit creative. Is this strategy something that could help us?
I think yes. I mean, I wrote about this for the site. I wrote about the Mariners pitchers who have struggled the most in the first inning, which no surprise to pretty much anyone, I would assume at this point, Felix is one of. It's tough in part because I think one of the key things that sort of pushed this over the edge for the Rays was that they have a guy in Sergio Romo who is a dominant pitcher against right-handed hitters and is a disaster against lefties, and they have a bunch of slightly overmatched left-handed starting pitchers,
right.
And had essentially good matchups to do this. So they're doing it again with the Orioles next, I think this weekend, and we'll see how it goes. But you know, so I what I will say is I think part of the advantage is platoon wise,
right.
And so I don't know that the Mariners are quite as equipped to do something about that, especially with Felix, because you know you don't have usually a team hitting three lefties leadoff. but I do think it's worth them looking into, and I do think someone like Nick Vincent is a good fit for this, you know, especially if the team brings up Ariel Miranda. But, I mean, even still, you know, Felix is just not looked prepared when he's started, and he's just been eaten up by the best parts of other teams' orders.
Yep.
And getting him a better situation or an easier starting point sucks that you'd have to do it, but if you're going to keep running him out there and there's no other adjustment that's going to be made,
yep.
I mean, it would make a difference. I think it would help change the mentality, perhaps.
And if you can sell, I mean, the other part of this is, can you sell Felix on this idea and not have him get really bent out of shape about it? But Felix, I mean, they were interviewing him today, and he was just, like, shaking his head. He's so tired of having to talk about the first inning struggles. Well, you know how you don't have to talk about the first inning struggles. You don't struggle in the first inning.
Yeah.
So.
And, I mean, I don't know. Like, from the discussion that we've seen from beat reporters and from folks around the team, like, this is something that they've been trying to work with Felix on, and he's only been so receptive because I think it's very ingrained in him to have this different mentality, which certainly makes sense because he's just been incredible for so long. But he's...
But isn't helping the team now.
No, and yeah, it's very difficult to... I don't know. Matthew, as you said it, like it, I don't feel like it's really right to speak like ill of Felix because of all that we've watched him have to endure.
Exactly. I think Kate brought up a good point. To me, this is, if they do try the opener thing, it's all about presentation, right? Like,
yeah.
You can't just go to Felix and be like, hey, you've kind of sucked in the first place. Yeah. Like, you have to present it in more of a way that's like, I don't know, I guess team-oriented. We're like, hey, we think this could help the team and you at the same time. What if we try this thing? Like,
yeah.
If they were playing the Astros, say, and it's like, all right, you have Correa, Bregman, Altuve, 1-2-3.
Uh-huh.
We're going to let Nick Vincent handle that. And then, you know, you have the middle of the order to start off instead of those three, like, fire-breathing dragons. So, I mean, as long as you don't offend Felix with this, I'm all for the idea. And the other thing is, like, you're not married to it. You can do it and then stop doing it. It's not like you have to do it for every one of Felix's starts forever.
And I think that's maybe even a way that the presentation could go of, like, hey, what if we try this thing just until you, like, get feeling comfortable again?
Yes. Yeah,
and
this
then,
is a,
like,
short-term thing.
Yeah.
We won't do, like, this forever, but what do you think about? And again,
you know, like, find a good matchup to start it with. And then just like, hey, Nick Vincent's, you know, like, got guys 0-for-32 against him against these three. And, you know, they, for whatever reason, hit you well. Like, what if we just, like, tried it today and then you get to warm up forever and throw 1,000 curveballs in the bullpen?
And do it at home. Do it at home and still let him have an entrance. Like, when he comes in, and then it can feel like the game will start. Even though it doesn't matter that there's an inning up on the scoreboard. Like, he comes in, there's, like, a big noise, everybody stands up and claps, and... You know, he still gets his entrance. I think that
sounds perfect to me.
I think that's a way to maybe spin it a little. The other way I think you could spin it is you start doing it with someone else. So specifically, maybe you try that with Wade LeBlanc, if you still have Wade LeBlanc starting, if you choose not to recall Ariel Miranda, who is, I'm going to write him up, but he looked a lot better in Tacoma when I saw him the other day. He's definitely trying to pitch lower in the zone and curb that strikeout problem. Yes, the homer problem.
Ah.
He did not have a lot of strikeouts, but what he did have when I saw him in Tacoma the other day was 9 ground ball outs to 2 outs in the air. I know.
Huge.
Ariel Miranda. Getting freaky.
I know. So I think, you know, there's still an adjustment being made there, but that was definitely something. And he's had uneven starts, so I don't know that we're ready to do that quite yet. We're probably going to look at Wade LeBlanc for a little while longer, maybe Christian Bergman if we need him. But Matthew, you had put something into the document for show planning about pleasant surprises. And since we've talked a little bit about like the continual bummer that is Felix, let's talk about nice things. What are you most pleasantly surprised by this year?
Ooh, I mean, if I had to pick one, it's probably Guillermo. But of the new guys, it's got to be, for me at least, it's Marco. I mean, he's been, the beginning of the season was still like just kind of a question mark. We didn't know if this was going to be like the actual Marco, if we're going to have to, you know, get him tuned up a little bit, do like a bullpen experiment. But from what we've seen recently, I'm very encouraged with what we have. I don't like the idea of just comparing everything he does to Tyler O'Neill.
Yeah, that is that's getting real old fast.
Right, and it's just a way to like discredit him. Like, Marco can't be two people, right? Just let him be Marco Gonzalez. Let
he especially can't be a National League Canadian slugger. That seems like a real big ask.
That would be a real story if somehow he was both people.
Oh, he's a good hitter, right? He's
two different body types.
That's like the whole thing about his athleticism. I mean, I'm still upset they didn't let him hit in...
truly, of all the terrible or decisions that I have disagreed with, that is truly the one that continues to rankle me. I mean, it's literally what he's there for. That's if you're going to have one pitcher who can hit, like, that's Mark. Oh, man, it's just such a bummer. Matthew,
he probably run too. He could have been the pinch runner when we were all complaining that they didn't pinch run for Cruz. Just throw Marco out there.
Yep.
Yeah, it's his run day. He's not gonna throw. He pitched yesterday.
And he's young. Like, he's not gonna hurt himself running 180 feet.
No, his wife is always like running. She runs from like Capitol Hill to like Gasworks Park like for fun. And
well,
he
dude, his wife is an East Lake Wolf. So keep that in mind.
Then there we go.
Go Wolves. A very fit alumni base out of East Lake High School.
I believe with the Washington State Baseball Player of the Year.
Maybe we could have his wife pinch run. Ooh. Like that could, because I think she's pretty fast.
I mean, Monica, if you're listening, please let us know how fast you are.
Call us.
Give us a 40 time.
Yeah, give us a 40 time, a 60 time.
Can you cut the bases? All that stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, would she? She would be an extreme improvement, I feel, over like 75% of our starters.
Look, I haven't seen James Jones in a while. I think we need our new base running specialist.
That's true.
It will always be insane to me how like specifically athletic baseball players can be, but like are just so terrible at running, or like even with Nelson Cruz, like walking down stairs, Healy, whoever it was that hurt themselves on the stairs.
That was Nelson. But Ryan hurt himself.
Healy was exercising
or something. Yeah.
Well, he was like stretching. He had like the bands thing, I think, between he was stretching out. Like,
yeah,
his
and then
ankle.
The next day there was that tweet that was like, Ryan Healy will not be doing that exercise anymore.
Yeah.
Like, all right.
Good for you, Ryan. Although, I think we're all discounting. Did you see the Mariners Instagram story of Wade hustling in to beat James Pax? Like, Wade with the late burst running in beat out Pax. Get into the dugout first. Little healthy lefty competition.
I'm also very pro Wade LeBlanc.
Wade LeBlanc is the new freaking Mark Lowe of just dude who's been abysmal every time he goes like elsewhere, and then just comes back to Seattle and just suddenly like
he wasn't abysmal in Pittsburgh. He
had
an
amazing start and then just completely fell off that year.
Okay.
Because I remember it being like, oh, Wade LeBlanc, like why didn't they re-sign him? And at the end of the year, it was like, oh, Wade
that's
LeBlanc.
Why. He took off his Wade LeBlanc mask and showed the Wade LeBlanc underneath it.
He had a 4.5 ERA, which is fine, but he was a reliever, so that's not very good.
Not fine. Nope. There's a little 2017 Casey Lawrence mixed into that.
Yeah.
I mean, with Wade, you're always just like walking a tightrope, right? Like waiting for things to go sideways. So
shoes, various shoes to drop.
Yeah, very shoes to droppy. John, how about you? Do you want to hop on the Marco train? Or you know what? I also think, and this to play off of what Matthew said a little bit, Guillermo isn't necessarily a new player, but everyday healthy Guillermo is new to us, and it's fantastic. Yeah. I am really enjoying it. So yeah, for me, that is definitely the pleasant surprise, is just seeing him like, oh, I have. There are so many opportunities here on this squad. Like, if you want a job, come take it. There's lots of flexibility right now. Like, and Guillermo is like, I want to be the everyday center fielder. So he's just reached out with both hands and taken that. And so proud of him.
I would have to say, I think those are great choices. I mean, it's got to be Edwin Diaz. I mean, like, has been...
That noise, you know, just says it all.
You know, like, we knew he was very good. We knew he was better than he was last year. But we also didn't know if he would ever really fully put it together, because a lot of guys who are young and have incredible stuff continue to just have incredible stuff and not add to it necessarily. You know, we've seen guys do that, and that results in, you know, very up and down performance. And suddenly Edwin Diaz comes in, I think, likely pretty upset with last year, and clearly seems to have focused very well on locking in his work, and now is untouchable, like, to a degree that is just a joke of, like, when he comes in, like, when he came in that 1-0 game the other day, and it was like the Mariners had been just doing nothing, like, failed to execute with bases loaded the previous inning, and it was just like, oh, god damn it.
Yeah.
And then it was like, oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Good joke. They are not touching anything the rest of the game.
Yeah.
Like, it has been...
It's been amazing that there are two... whereas last year I felt like there were two Edwins, and it was like very good but struggling with his control Edwin, and it was a terrifying Fernando Rodney-esque ride. And then there was very, very good Edwin. Now it's... very good, maybe doesn't quite have his command, but still very good Edwin. And, like, I just sit there and laugh, Edwin. Like, just, I can't help it. I laugh through his because it looks so unhittable.
Yeah.
And I'm so happy to be on this side.
I don't think he even needs to be, like, completely on his game to dominate anymore. Like, he can have, like, a B outing for him and still have, like, a 15-pitch, like, 1-2-3 inning.
No, and I mean, you know, obviously everybody chases velocity, like the big velocity is so, you know, triple digits, whatever. Everyone's making a big deal over this Jordan Hicks. Anyone want to take a guess at what Jordan Hicks's K to BB ratio is?
I know it's not very good. He's not striking anyone out, right?
What? No, he's not. And he's walking a lot of people. Do you want to take a guess as to what his K to BB ratio percentage is?
Is it... 2-1 at least.
So you're saying he walks twice as many as he strikes out?
No, the other way around.
He strikes out twice as many as he walks.
Yeah. Should still probably not be great.
So you're thinking like two would that be, what would that translate?
It would be like eight strikeouts to 4 walks.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm bad at ratios.
Yeah, what do you think? How many batters do you think he strikes out versus how many you think he walks per 9?
I think they're a lot closer than we think they are. Like, I know, because I listened to a podcast where people were saying that he doesn't strike out anyone, partly because he throws, like, a sinker, and, like, it's not a strikeout pitch. So I think, I mean, per 9 innings, I feel like he's probably walking, like, 4 dudes and striking out 5.
Yeah, so per 9, he's striking out 4.3 and walking 6.26.
Wow.
That is a K to BB ratio percentage of -5.1%.
Yikes.
Yeah. So, I mean, obviously Jordan Hicks is hella talented, and, you know, when you can get it up there at triple digits, I personally think it's terrifying. I would want to stand. I would, like, take my strikeout. I would just want to stand in the other side. I want to stand as far away from those pitches. If you're throwing 105, but you don't know where it is. Uh-huh. Yeah, no thank you. No, thank you. So I feel like last year, not that it was that extreme, but like we had much more of that where it was the triple digits and the big focus was on the fastball velocity. And now it seems like things have shifted a little. And like, yeah, he's still burning it up there at 98, 99. Sometimes he touches the triple digits. But it's much more about, I think, the play between throwing you that fastball and then throwing you that slider. And the slider is just, and I feel like he's really leaned into that as his identity. Instead of I throw triple digits, I throw an unhittable slider.
It is, I mean, it's been his best pitch. It's mm-hmm. been, there have been, that's been really the separation, right? Is that not only has the slider been better, but that when he gets into trouble or when he's struggling to locate, he goes to his slider and yeah. he just starts throwing sliders and throws them for strikes and gets himself back on track. And he's yeah. been able to do that because, you know, by itself, it's enough of a, you know, it's like a 90, like 88 to 91 mile per hour slider that moves a ton. And he, I think, has left one up. Which is the most the most incredible part about all of this. It's like he left one, I think, sort of in the middle of the zone, and that was the one that Justin Upton hit for a homer. And then he left one other one up where I distinctly remember it, like, oh, that slider didn't break. That's like the yeah. first time I've seen that. It's like every time he's aiming at Mike Zunino's glove for his fastballs and throwing the fastball to the glove, and he's aiming the slider at the glove, and it's just starting at the glove and breaking away. Yeah. And it's like, it's unhittable. It's him and Josh Hader and then everyone else
yeah,
in like pretty
true.
Much every relief pitching statistic. Like swinging strike rate, they are the only ones who 20% or more of the pitches they throw are swinging strikes.
Unbelievable.
Like it's been awesome to watch, and it is a large part of why the Mariners are
where they are
is
why
is
we have that record in one run games.
Exactly, is when you are able to essentially lock down any one run lead that you have, or any lead that you have really, when in the last inning or two. Then
are you guys invested in Edwin and Scott Service's bet?
Extremely.
Yeah.
I'm so into it. I want to see Scott Service just with the most ridiculous haircut. I hope they don't hold him to like the haircut that he agreed to. I hope they just let the Mariners go nuts on his head.
Mm-hmm. Well, they said Edwin was going to do, like, it was themed, right? Or was there a specific type of haircut?
Oh, I thought it was something just about, like, the lines. Like the,
yeah, it
like
was like
the
Edwin,
racing stripes.
Edwin
racing
showed up with a certain haircut, and then Scott joked, like, oh, if you lead the league in saves or hit 50, whatever, I'll get that haircut. But I want to see them just, like, fuck up his head.
Well, it's also, like, he doesn't have that much hair, does he?
No,
like,
I mean, it's
that's true.
I'm not
he's
sure
limited.
I would notice. I'm not sure I'd notice racing stripes
like
on him.
He's not, like, super balding or anything. But, I mean, there's hair there. It's a little thin. It's a little,
I honestly,
you know, 50-ish
can't really picture
man.
Him without a hat on.
No.
There's the one photo of him like leaning around the corner where I don't think he's wearing
a
hat.
Oh yes, yes.
But it's just hat. It's constant hat hair. Like I don't think it's
yeah.
It is the equivalent of him wearing a hat.
So the All-Star Game, the relievers are not chosen by the fan vote, right? Like we can't
correct.
We can't
it's,
stump
yeah.
to get Edwin into the All-Star Game, but
no, I think if he keeps this up, it will not be an issue because coaches are
so great. Yeah. I just would love to see Edwin like getting a chance to shine and having other people like learn who he is, because we have to be realistic. There's a lot of people who like on a scale of 1 to 10 or maybe a 6 in baseball fandom, and they still don't really know about Edwin Diaz.
And he has a history of showing up big in like big moments, like when he was
well,
on the mound
like,
for Puerto Rico in the WBC.
Yeah.
He likes the spotlight. He likes to shine.
I also do, like, the worst case scenario in that is that he's just like way too hyped and just is like all over the place, and it's pretty
like
hilarious.
Randy Johnson, John Kruk thing.
Yeah, like he just like terrifies the shit out of like I don't know, Nolan Arenado or something. Like
Nolan would try to fight him. That'd be horrible.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Which would be hilarious.
Well, they will be coming, I think, directly off of playing the Rockies after that. So maybe they'll either it will be a continuing feud, or hopefully they'll maybe be just like chill buds.
Either way, I'm in.
Absolutely. I hope we send a bunch of delegates to the All-Star game. Mitch didn't have a great day today, but we will definitely, I think, have to start stumping for him at some point to make sure, because obviously we're not probably
there's like 85 incredible right fielders also, like,
yeah, it's
everyone.
Real stinky, real whatever, it's extra days off, they can rest their bones. Well, what do you think, should we do a little bit of draft and minors stuff, or should we go to questions?
Let's go to questions, because we'll I think we'll do a lot of draft stuff, in especially because we're I think next week is going to be our last pod before the draft. Or maybe we'll have two more.
Yeah, things are getting close. Things are getting
I'm excited. And I guess I think a last note about, I think you alluded to this, Kate, but the general, I think, sense is that there won't be a trade before the draft. That most teams wait until the draft happens to make trades because they just don't know necessarily what the system's going to look like. And so your point about the Mariners perhaps getting creative with what they're doing, and I don't know what the rules are about that, honestly. I would imagine it might be frowned on, but also like
around specific language to prevent it? Probably
but how would you prove that sort of that is what the Mariners need to be. When we talk about creativity, like, it has to be in any way. Because, like, the Mariners getting Archer before everyone else
is the only way they'll get
is
Archer.
Ready. Like, you know, and that honestly goes for, like, pretty much any of the guys. Like, Michael Fulmer, who's also a good pitcher that is, still cost-controlled. You could probably get, like, Marco Estrada for just some shit, but, like, Estrada is not that great, and also is like 35, and also
is
not
the solution for a long term role.
We could go J Hap round two.
Yes, we
anyone?
Could.
Anyone excited about that?
No, I don't think so. No.
No, yeah, I don't want that at all.
No, it wouldn't be terrible.
John and I have talked about this before. Like, the Mariners have to crush this draft. This is probably the most important draft of Jerry DePoto's tenure. Sucks because we're not going to know how it goes right off the bat, and we're also not going to know, like, if anything influenced the picks.
Yeah.
But, yeah, they've got to be ready to pounce on other teams' supposed mistakes, like, if they've let players go back. Their scouting, I hope, has got to be top drawer, because this is an important one, and I'm definitely going to be watching, like, half super excited and half just, like, chewing my fingernails off, so.
Yeah, we should,
We'll have a draft party, I think.
I was going to say, I think maybe we'll talk more about that, but, or put something up about that, but I think that would be a fun get-together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that, like,
any of y'all are draft heads.
For sure.
You know me. Love the draft.
Noted
love
prospect caster.
No, yeah.
Hey,
love waiting 4 years. Led
prospect analyst.
Yeah. All right, I think we'll take a little break and then we'll come back and deal with some questions. Sound good?
Yeah.
All right.
Sounds great. And I find it kind of funny, find it kind of sad. The dreams in which I'm dying are the best I ever had. Find it hard to tell you, find it hard to change. When people run in circles, it's a very, very bad. We're back. We are going to take some of your Twitter questions. Thank you to everyone who sent us some. We have, from what I can tell, a new person asking us questions.
That's always fun.
This first one is from at Lil Hurl. That's LILHURL. His name is Harold, according to the internet machine. And Harold has a very specific question.
Okay.
Harold wants to know, if M's players were cars, which player would be your favorite car and why? And then he clarifies, which was nice. Example, if your favorite car is an Audi R8, but your fave player is Seager, those are not equivalent.
That
so it's
is
kind
true.
Of,
that is
kind of like a brain exercise.
A truer statement has not been spoken. Those things are not equivalent.
I have never looked at Kyle Seeger and thought sports car.
Although, what was the one? This picture was going around sort of viral. It was Lightning McQueen. Get Lightning McQueen some Benadryl. Did you see that car?
Yeah, I did see that.
That sports car could maybe, because it has a lot of weird lumps in it. Like, that could possibly be Kyle Seeger. But yes,
lumpy
I understand
third baseman.
I understand the spirit of the question. And am prepared to answer. I'm prepared. I have an answer.
Okay. I also have an answer. Although I'm, based on my very limited actual automobile knowledge, I'm concerned it might be a similar answer to Kate's. So hopefully we're going divergent. Matthew, I don't know if you have an answer, but I'm gonna
lay out and let you guys take the first answers. Okay. See where this goes.
Kate, all you. All right.
So
brimming with confidence.
When I was in like college and Click and Clack, like I loved Click and Clack, the car talk radio guys.
Yes. The car talksman.
The car talksman. And they used to have a thing called CarMac or CarWack or something. Like, basically, you inputted things about yourself, and the thing spit out, like, this is the car you should get. And I got a Jeep, and I have always dreamed about having a Jeep. I want a Jeep so badly. And, like, apparently they do not. I don't want your Jeep. Your Jeep is...
It's like a trade is there to be made.
No, I want like one that you can like that has the doors that aren't really doors, like they're just it's open and like it's always felt so dangerous.
Like the Zoolander Jeep.
Yes. Okay. This is maybe representing me more shallowly than I want. But I just like have always had this image, and I read a lot of Archie comics when I grew up, and they were always like cruising around in jalopies, which a jalopy is not exactly like a Jeep, but I think it's close enough. Like, I like the image of just something that's, like, a little bit wild and a little bit loosey-goosey, and you're like, how is that thing still holding together? And yet it gets where it needs to go, and that matches up with Guillermo Heredia, who is one of my favorites, so... Did I stun you into silence with how perfect my answer was? Because I was pretty...
No, it was just a long build-up, and then you were like, Guillermo... But I agree with everything you said. That's a good
like a
comparison.
Crazy jalopy that should not work, and yet, like, think about Guillermo's swing and how, like, oftentimes it just carries him straight across the plate, just an uncontainable like bucket of bolts. That is a car that I like, and that is the player that I like, even though it sort of terrifies me sometimes.
Okay. Well, I'm going to have to convert slightly my answer, because I was initially going to say we had a matching pair of cars in Guillermo and another player, but I'm thinking back to the Italian job and just the delightful joy with which Mini Coopers... Which, you know, the Italian job being a movie that I saw in my childhood and really just adored. So I was thinking maybe like a convertible
Mini Cooper
uh-huh. for Gene Segura.
Yes.
That's perfect.
Making sure, like, whatever version, it's just make sure we got extra trunk space. Because
yeah, Mini Coopers do sort of have a big... ass, don't they?
They do have a big ass, and they just are delightful and surprisingly zoomy.
Yeah.
Like, that doesn't look like it should have as much zip as it does.
Yeah.
And then suddenly it's on second base.
Yep, that totally tracks. That 100% tracks.
So I would say Mini Cooper.
Mini Cooper your favorite car?
Well, it's definitely not. And so that was what I was going to say, is I would very much rather have the Jeep also. And I think that a Jeep, like Kate described, is probably where I would go, because that has always felt like the absolute best kind of car to go for. And Guillermo just looks and does everything, like, from an outside perspective of, like, yes, you do all the thing. You have speed, you have, like, power, you have, you know, just all these different versatility, but, like, the gas mileage is abysmal. Like, Why can't you steal bases?
Yeah, that tracks. I will say the car that I actually drive is not a car that I like, although over time, I didn't like this car. I got stuck with it. It's a 2005 Toyota Corolla. It's nothing I would have picked out. It's completely boring, kind of old, and incredibly functional, and it's Marco Gonzalez.
I was going to say,
it's bailed me out of some tough spots, honestly, and it's better than people think it is.
And you're like, not sure how. You're like, oh, we got out of that. Okay.
Let's keep driving. Literally, once I was on the Beltway outside DC, and a car came over into my lane, and we're all going like 70, it's the Beltway. And there was another car to the other side, and I couldn't go anywhere, so I sort of swerved, and I wound up doing 3 complete loops across traffic on the Beltway and not hitting anything coming to a safe stop on the side of the road. And ever since that day, the car and I have been, like, more chill with each other. Yeah, it was, like, an amazing death-defying escape, and the car just, like, kind of saw me right through. So, yeah, the Marco Gonzalez comp holds up in a lot of ways. Like, do I like the flashy Canadian sports car? Yes, but do I know that the dependable, gas-efficient Toyota Corolla is the better car for me in the long run? Also, yes.
I'm not sure PAX is a sports car. I think PAX is just the most luxury SUV.
I clearly meant Tyler O'Neill by that.
My mistake.
Who actually drives a bright red, extremely
muscle car? Of course it's bright red. He is a bright red muscle car.
Nothing has ever made more sense than that.
That dude was so happy the day that they were wearing all red.
Canada Day.
And
is he in a gang?
Canada, yeah.
I think so.
He is part of the Canada gang. It's him and Gareth Morgan and
Drake.
And Drake and the Nailers, Noah and what's his bucket, the other one?
Josh,
thank you.
Matthew, where are you at on this?
So Harold really sent me down a crazy thought spiral. I don't think I have a favorite car. I just don't really care about cars that much. But I'll play along. I, like Kate, have a car that is not good. No one would ever look at my car
what
and
car
be like,
do you drive?
I'll take that. I drive a 2012 Ford Escape, but it has dents in 3 of the 4 corners of it.
Excellent. Man, LL just collectively is rocking some junkers.
Yeah.
Well, it's a good thing none of us commute to actually write for LL, because it would be just
the
sorriest parking lot.
Yeah, we would never get anything done.
My just very unregistered Jeep,
whoa, did you just
Connor's
snitch on yourself?
Connor's car that got stolen recently and returned sans stereo.
Connor was very chill about that too. At least online he was.
Zach's fucking Diamante that...
Oh, no! Zach drives a Diamante!
Have you never seen Zach's car?
It's a Mitsubishi!
Mitsubishi Diamante with a spoiler. Yeah, with a spoiler. It's the only car he's...
I need
that's
to
not
lie
true.
Down!
Sorry, it's not the only car he's ever owned, because he did own a white... I think it was a Mazda for 3 months, and then it got totaled, but just the brakes never worked, really. He had to hold down with full force at the end, just to get the car to slow down to a stop. And then before he had actually been able to sell his Diamante that he'd owned for 8 years, the white Mazda totaled, and he was just well, guess back to the Diamante.
By the way, Alex Jackson is a Diamante. A thing that seems a good, fun, flashy idea in theory, but actually sucks in every facet.
It is, what I will say is that car has never had a right rearview mirror. No longer does the flap, does the wind sealant stick on the back mirror or on the back window. One of the doors doesn't open all the way. All
right, things are now sounding more like Kendrys Morales. Like, this is the Kendrys Morales.
But, like,
we reached the, like, you need to get rid of it stage.
It still works. Like, this is, I don't know. It's. I think it's maybe more Wade LeBlanc. Like, it's...
No, that's too flashy.
But Wade's too flashy. Yeah, Wade, no. I don't know. I don't know what it is.
All right, sorry, though.
Sorry, Matthew, we interrupted you.
No, I just learned a lot about my coworkers here. I drive a 2012 Ford Escape. It's dented in several places, two of which were my fault. One of them was during my career as a Domino's delivery expert. I backed straight into like a
not
cinder
a Domino's
block.
Delivery novice.
No,
at least
not a
driving expert.
No, I was only an expert at getting pizza from point A to point B.
Slammed the car into the front wall of every home you delivered. Onto the table. Pre-set up, but
yeah,
collateral was unprecedented.
I could promise you a quick pizza, could not promise your house would still be intact.
A slow death but a quick pizza.
Anyway, so yeah, back like behind the store where all the delivery experts parked, there was like a bunch of blocks.
Your brethren,
for some reason, yeah, and sisterin. Let me the gender.
I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm sorry. Your people.
So yeah, I had some piping hot pizzas. I was trying to get out into the world as quickly as possible, and backed straight into like this cinder block thing. I think they were set up to like. There was also a Safeway back there, so I think it was like marking where the delivery trucks were supposed to park, and I backed straight into it. And then recently someone backed into me in that weird like V-shaped parking lot in Pioneer Square. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, the like sinking ship.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, someone was leaving their spot, didn't see me coming around the corner, backed straight into me. It was like 2 in the morning, and I like got out, assessed the damage, and was like, fuck it, let's just go home. It seemed like a headache to just deal with that at 2 in the morning, so I went home. And then recently, like literally this week, pulling into my parking spot at the apartment I just moved into, I hit like the pole that's set up right there and scraped the shit out of my car.
Yeah, so, that just rubs out, though.
What I'm getting at is my car... right now is probably Felix Hernandez.
Shit, I thought that's where
damn
you were
it,
going
yeah.
with that.
I was
going
to say, you faked me out with the, like, I would never say a bad thing about Felix.
Well, if you notice, I didn't say a bad thing about my car. I just stated facts.
That's fair.
I essentially just listed Felix's stats, but I still love him, and I still love my car. So, and it's better than my old car, which also kind of continues the Felix metaphor, like, there was nothing better beforehand. So
that's true.
My old car died while I was driving it. It just ceased to work.
What? Where?
Yeah, on a hill. Dude, it was actually pretty scary, but that's a different story.
Oh, man.
I managed to like get it to the side
that,
of a hill.
That might be Kendrys.
Yeah, that one is Kendrys.
Yeah, but my car can also pitch. So that was a plot twist.
So...
Anyway,
no, it was it was a good Kendrys Morales joke. It was good.
Thank you. If I have to answer Harold's question, I'll keep it brief. My favorite, if I had to like just go crazy on a car, like if I came into a bunch of money, I'd probably go for like one of those like Lamborghinis that a rapper would buy.
Or D. Gordon.
Exactly. That would definitely be D. Gordon.
Yeah. Who? Is a human Lamborghini and also drives a Lamborghini. Yep. All checks out.
Yeah. I saw that video he posted with his uncle.
Oh. He had Miller, one of our prospects. And,
I've seen that one too.
Also, Braden Bishop was driving them, giving them rides around at spring training, which I thought was very nice of Uncle D.
Love that. Okay.
All right. Shall we move on?
Let's move on to a
setting a good pace for this.
Yeah,
right.
Well, I mean, shout out to Harold. Harold gave us a lot to talk about.
That was a very good question, Harold. Yeah, shout out.
So let's move to a staple of the Lookout Landing podcast. We have Chris from Bothell. He wants to know, this is a great question. It could also take like years to get through it.
Cool.
So we'll keep it brief. But he said, please go through the players used in either today or yesterday's game and express your opinion of their potential for the rest of the season. However, you may only express this with inarticulate noises, no discernible words.
Okay. I mean, we don't have to go through, like, every player, I think.
Yeah, I think he meant specifically the ones who are, like, not supposed to be here, you know? Or, like, the ones that are recent additions to the lineup due to injury. So, do you want to start with John Andreoli? If you have to make a noise to express your opinion on John Andreoli.
A John Andreoli noise.
It's kind of like a... yeah. Like, we don't really know, but I'm excited. Yeah,
that's
it's like
John
a
Andreoli
verbal
noise.
Question mark.
But also, like, sounds vaguely like an Italian chef. That's what I was going for. So.
Oh, I see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's. I think I was trying to do that's a spicy meatball. He was a spicy little meatball out there. You know,
it's
I'm
weird
not...
how you can just say whatever about Italian people.
Hey, he played for Team Italy. It's okay.
No, I mean,
like,
I didn't
invited
like,
this
Italian.
Comparison.
No, it's, yeah, I don't think it's not the issue that we haven't recognized he is Italian. It's, oh, he is Italian. So
it's just immediately spicy meatball. I mean, I kind of did that too in my draft thing. I wrote that Joe Rizzo probably has a great lasagna recipe.
Yes.
And I don't know if that's offensive to the Italian population. If so, I apologize.
He's a good Italian boy. I will say that as the originator of the macaroni ravioli, we like Andreoli chant, which made him smile at spring training. He's not a very smiley guy. He's very serious. Goes about his business.
The miners will
seriously.
Do that to a man.
I was going to say, also, like, just looking at his dad just attempt to express joy.
Oh, my
joy.
God. The most, like, the most New England, like, wasp dad. Well, maybe not wasp, but very, like, because, you know, Italians. But, like,
no,
very,
we
like,
know.
I'm feeling happy.
Oh, we're very familiar
I'm feeling
with your
happy.
Feelings on.
Like, this is, like, this the huge moment, like, a decade plus in the making, and, you know, all he can do is, like...
Just a Ron Swanson grin.
Yes, that is exactly what it was.
It's like, yes, you are in the major leagues, period.
A stern nod of approval.
Yeah, I feel like he got, like a clap on the back from his dad after the game, and that was, like, maybe it.
Well, they were his dad's in, like, former New England Patriot,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
like, that
yeah,
was,
yeah.
So, like, maybe his dad's like, well, I don't know, like, you ain't really done shit. Like, I don't know, like...
That was a cute little running catch you had.
Have
yeah,
fun
like,
playing Sport B. Yeah.
I mean, and, like, I think he was probably on, like... The like some pretty rough teams because I believe that the Pats had some rough stretches. Like he, I think he maybe was on some Steve Grogan.
Yeah, every Boston sports fan will remind you that the Patriots weren't always good.
Oh yes, true. Yeah.
But that means nothing to me, who like wasn't alive for any of that.
Do we have any other players? I mean, obviously, Andreoli was, like, the big story of that game.
Yeah, do you want to hear my Andrew Romine noise?
Yeah.
That's
What's
it.
What's that?
That was a fart noise. I don't know if it tracked over the microphone.
It sounded more like a lawnmower, but...
Andrew did not have a bad day today. I mean...
It was potentially his first not bad day.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to go with a... For Andrew Romine, because like
I have been hard on Andrew
he's
Romine.
Not
he's
great.
Just an easy target.
Yeah, he's not been great with a bat, but he is on the roster primarily because he is a
end of sentence.
Yeah.
No, I'm sorry.
He's on the roster no, primarily he because he can play all the positions and he's a good teammate. Which
yes.
explains some of the moves that have been made lately in drawing from the Tacoma team. So,
yeah.
You know,
there's
Andrew
value
Romine,
in just being liked. I mean,
there's
in any workplace.
Just being, like,
yep.
pretty chill.
Yep, yeah. there's value in being the guy who, like, will carry somebody else's glove out to him. Because you're,
yeah.
you
everyone
think
needs
about
a pickup.
Others. Yes.
Everyone needs to be able to pick people up.
Yeah. So I mean, there's some. It's easy to pick on Romine, but there's some value there. And if it wasn't that we had lost like all of our offensive stars, and Nelson Cruz has just looked disastrous at the plate, and Kyle Seager is pretty inconsistent right now as well. I mean, if it wasn't, he wouldn't be quite so exposed in other lineups, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, I would like the sound for Andrew Romine to just be whoosh,
we're not seeing him. That's fair.
I want him to be unseen and unheard.
Yeah. Do you want to do one more? Should we do one more?
Sure.
Okay. Let's do one more.
Okay, Chris. It's Chris again. Spoiler alert. Thank you, Chris. He wants to know, what is the worst M's promotion that you lovingly embraced anyway? So like a giveaway at the ballpark that wasn't good, but you were into it.
I have an absolute answer for this.
Okay.
Start us off.
It is the fucking Safeco Field soil. Which I distinctly remember one time going to a game, being pretty stoked about it for no possible reason, because I was like a freshman or sophomore in high school.
Yeah, you've never planted.
Yeah, but they didn't distribute it before the game, which was smart, because otherwise, like, people would just be sitting with giant bags of soil in the stands, which I'm pretty bummed about. But that meant that they just, like, backed up, like, 24 pickup trucks just on like Occidental, and we're just literally like handing out bags of soil off of these pickup trucks to any passerby. And so we, for no earthly reason, just like me and my friends walked these bags of soil back and then put them, I think, in Zach's Diamante trunk. where they, I believe, remained untouched for like 2 years at minimum. Like,
they started growing things themselves in the back of the Diamante.
There's just a whole stadium back there eventually. It grew. It blossomed.
Yeah. Yeah. Congrats, Kevin Costner. So yeah, that is my thank you. That is definitely my bet there. It's useless. And like definitely just a con, like definitely a really good, like, how can we get rid of some trash that we were gonna have to take, like, just like take to like way in the woods and dump otherwise. Like,
it's that Mitch Hedberg joke of like when the guy gives him a flyer, he's like, here, you throw this away.
I am currently looking at a Mariner Moose bank that was designed, and it's supposed to be given away for children, but was apparently not given away. So last time they had FanFest, they were just desperately handing them out. And I wouldn't keep it, except that I don't have, you know, the things that, like, hold your books up? Bookends, yeah, thanks.
Or weights.
Yeah,
not to be confused with bell ends, which is like a British, like, derogatory term I learned.
What?
Yeah, there's a, I mean, not like, no, derogatory is the wrong word, but like the British slang version of dickhead. Yeah, insult is the word.
Oh, okay.
So
interesting.
Yeah.
Shout out
to the British guy in my office.
I use my very heavy.
Is he calling you a bell end a lot?
Yeah,
or...
No. We go, I mean, I don't want to get in too deep, but we always sort of joke about the people who add us on Twitter, and he was like, called one of them a bell end.
I am a big fan of that.
All right.
Yeah, I don't really have a bad giveaway thing. I think if I did, I just got rid of it, because I don't know why you would keep it if it
because
was,
it is
in fact,
full of
bad.
Coins, and it is holding up my books.
No,
did
yours
they
is
give
practical.
It to you full of coins?
Well, no.
That would be dangerous.
And it does. The only reason it's there, that's I have like true. Big, you know, baseball prospectuses and stuff. So,
gotcha.
It's holding up a fair amount of weight. So it's being useful in that sense.
I will say I have the Kuma Bear hoodie, and I wear that a decent amount, like around the house.
Yeah, that's
not it's
a
not
useless.
Really like.
I mean, that's
like
a good giveaway. It's like a robe, essentially, right?
No,
like,
it's super comfortable, and it's just hilarious. Like, every time I see it, I laugh. It has bear ears.
I will say, but I have a big stack of anything that's been given away over the years regarding Edgar Martinez, including some things that I have ordered off of eBay that I'm embarrassed about. But, you know,
do you have the duck?
I do have the duck. I'm looking at the duck right now. The duck is probably the worst one. But I can't get rid of them.
No,
I have
don't
the creepy bear, like the bear with his face. I really want the Batroichka dolls, the stacking dolls. That's
gonna
be my next present to myself. But those have, you know, those actually fit the category of the question, I think. And like, I cannot, anything with Edgar's face on it, no matter how hideously distorted, I can't get rid of. But and in fact,
in
feel
college,
like I need to collect them all.
I was at a Padres game in college where they gave out spatulas, and that actually was super duper practical. I used it almost every single day. But it was just really funny to see everyone walking around with a spatula.
I feel like that's a little dangerous in and of itself, but I do
that. It was like the handle was wood, and like the spatula part was like metal too, so it could definitely like
inflict
be
some
a weapon.
Damage. They gave
but this
away
is San Diego. Like the Padres are so mellow. Like no one was fighting at this game.
They gave away Mike Zunino ones, didn't they? Like or. No,
I think
Mike
that was
Zunino
an apron.
Was featured in, but they did a spatula the year before. I think it was like a Father's Day thing.
So they just all the barbecue ones are Mike Zunino themed.
He loves to grill, apparently.
I'd believe it.
It's like his lone defining feature. I think, like, if you ask me what I know about Mike Zunino outside of baseball, that is has dogs and likes to grill is and owns like one nice shirt. That encapsulates everything I know about Mike Zunino.
Didn't he go to a Taylor Swift concert with Kyle Seager, or did I make that up?
What?
I think that happened.
What?
We'd have to do some serious internet digging. It might have been like 2 or 3
years
ago.
If any of you out there know about this, I possibly wasn't here for it because I feel like I would have known about this. But
it was one of the like CenturyLink Taylor Swift concerts.
I could definitely see their wives wanting to go to that. So.
Yeah, exactly.
I was going to say, that, there was one of those, like, last week, so that would have been...
There was one of those the other night.
Yeah, it was, like a handful of days ago.
Tuesday. Yeah, Tuesday it was.
It was not that one. This was Taylor Swift's earlier stuff. They're more into that anyway.
All right, do we have any more questions? Or are we
no.
through?
We can end this.
I'm just going to cut out this whole last part of it, I think.
Does anyone want to make another Italian joke before we go?
God. I'm definitely cutting all of that out.
Guglielmo Andreoli is what comes up when you first type in Andreoli into Wikipedia.
What?
And Guglielmo Andreoli is the name of two brothers. Guglielmo Andreoli the Elder, 1835 to 1860, Italian pianist. Guglielmo Andreoli the Younger, 1862 to 1932, Italian pianist, teacher, and composer. So,
wait.
Not a great job at Andreoli the Elder. Also, brothers that one of them died before the second one was born?
I have questions.
This is not how brothers tend to work.
Also, did you know that Vladimir Guerrero has two sons named Vladimir?
Yes.
You gotta cover all your bases. This is fascinating. I don't know.
Is that where the name Elmo comes from? Is it always short for Googly Elmo?
Googly Elmo. It could be.
Again, Twitter. If you know anything about the Andreoli brothers,
yes, we know that
maybe
there are
weren't
some,
brothers.
There are some music majors out there who follow the site and who listen. So if you are one
Perfect.
Of those people and can tell us about Guglielmo, which I feel like cannot possibly be the correct way to pronounce that. Please.
Sorry,
please
Guglielmo Andreoli the Elder was born in Modena to the musical family of Evangelista Andreoli. His brothers included Carlo and another Guglielmo, born in 1862, with whom he should not be confused. Very... Wikipedia is very
decisive about that.
He was a pianist of great distinction, remarkable for his soft and delicate touch, pure taste, and power of expression, as well as his great execution. Did Guglielmo Andreoli the Elder write this? He was well known.
And also, all his shit was fire. Check it out.
Hated his younger brother.
Yeah.
With
sorry.
Whom he should
okay.
not be.
Here's what I'll say.
Whose shit does not maybe, slap.
Maybe Guglielmo the Younger wrote the last bit, because after describing that he was well known where he appeared at the Crystal Palace, the Musical Union, and the New Philharmonic, among other venues, it finishes with, his health was never strong, and he died at Nice, France, in 1860. He also composed, but his compositions are considered unimportant.
Oh, yeah.
Damn.
Oh, that's some vindictive younger sibling later on Wikipedia edits, for
this
sure.
This just shows you, even in the 1800s, you are not safe from internet people just making fun
supposedly
of you.
Supposedly, this dude is they are brothers. They are he just was born 32 years later, and...
The next season of True Detective.
Maybe they just felt like they could reboot because the previous one had died. That's
just run it back.
You can't lose a great name like Guglielmo.
This one was well known in London.
They couldn't afford
for
a
another
second name.
Oh man,
John, are you done? Are you done talking about Guglielmo Andreoli, the elder, and the
I think
younger?
So.
Not
to be confused. I'm dropping images of. The two of them, and I want you to tell me which one you think is which.
You realize
good,
that I'm just...
For an audio-based medium.
I've just already hit stop recording for this.
All right, that's fair.
Edit in
well,
later.
And it has senior in the URL. Okay, well,
I'm still gonna
I think
click
I'm
on
satisfied.
It. Okay. Oh, dude. All right. He's kind of... He's a decent-looking human.
I think it's possible...
Wait.
I think it's possible Guglielmo the Younger is related to Andreoli.
One of them
kind of
looks like Frida Kahlo.
Yeah, definitely a vibe.
No.
He
the other guy looks like he could fit in 2018.
He's looking good, honestly. If he just like had a mouth, like proved that he had a mouth.
I feel like this is a picture of you in one of those old-timey photo booths, John. There's a lot of hair.
There's a lot of hair.
There's some hair. It is, it's a look.
All right. Well, thank you to those of you who listened. I probably have later on just edited all of this conversation out. But know that there was about 20 minutes on a pair of brothers called the Guglielmo Andreoli brothers that John would not shut up about. Thank you for those.
I'm pro Guglielmo Andreoli the Younger. The first one, I don't need it.
Okay, I'm gonna put the links in so that you can look at these things later and maybe revive this conversation. But for now, thank you so much for listening. Thanks, Matthew, for joining us, and we will talk to you guys next week. The more I get, the more I.